Simon's going to know this Gemara already because it's the same Gemara that we did last night in the intro to Gemara Shir. But that's okay. We're going to go over it again. It's not an easy Gemara, but it's a fun one. The Mishnah here is on Yud Tes Amud Beis. Megillah is, of course, chock full with, you know, Agadita and good stories and good drashos about the Megillah. We skipped past all of that. We're in a halachic sugi over here. Yud Tes Amud Beis. Hakol Ksher in Likros is Megillah, Chutz Mecher Shota Vekatan, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir Bekatan. Very simple Mishnah. Seems simple at face value. Same. Mishnah says that the Tanakhama, the first Tana says, that everybody is kasher, we have to figure out what kasher means, everybody is kasher to read the Megillah, except for a cheresh, a shota, and a katan. A cheresh being somebody who's deaf, a shota being somebody who is somehow mentally handicapped, and a katan being, well, what do you think a katan is? Under 13 is good answer. Under 13, I would think. Under 13 comes along Rabbi Yehuda and says, "No, I think a katan is kasher to read, whatever kasher means." He thinks that it sounds like, as opposed to a cheresh and a shota, a katan is allowed to is kasher to read. By the way, Simon, in regards to what we said last night, it wasn't my clever comment. It's Tosos. The Gemara Tosos on the side, the second Tosos on the side, chutz mecheresh. So in general, as Tosos is going to point out, cheresh means deaf, right? But in the Gemara and in the Mishnah, it usually meant more than just deaf. It usually meant deaf and mute.
Deaf and dumb.
Deaf and dumb or deaf and mute.
What's the difference?
No difference. It's the same thing. Stam cheresh have eino shomea ve eino medaber, Tosos says. A regular cheresh is eino shomea ve eino medaber. But this can't be that cheresh. Why can't this be that cheresh? Because he's reading the Megillah. Because he's reading the Megillah. The Hacham Adaber who we do cover the Megillah. He happens to be an intelligent person. The reason why it was important that a Cheresh was Enu Medaber was that they were considered basically, I mean, completely incompetent. They couldn't speak. They couldn't hear, which meant that at the moment, at the time, nobody had the tools to teach them to speak either. And so you have this person who can't hear and he can't speak. How is he going to learn? How is he going to know anything? He's not going to. He's functionally similar to a shota at the time. Obviously, times have changed, but at the time, at least, most charashim were eino medaber. Of course, this charish is obviously not, because he's, in theory at least, reading the Megillah. He's physically capable of reading the Megillah. We just are not able to. Well, he's not kasher to read the Megillah, so to speak. That's what the Mishnah says. What do you think kasher means? What does it mean when it says hakol ksherin? Sharon means that they are able to fulfill your obligation for you. Yeah, give me more to you. Could it mean anything else?
They read it for themselves.
Okay. I guess it could mean they can't read it at all. Hakol ksherin. Hakol ksherin. Eitzel. Hakol ksherin.
Can a woman not read the Megillah?
No, so it depends on... No, it's a machlokas rishonim.
Woman for woman.
Based on this, because she's not...
Based on... Well, yeah, this is something a lot to do with it. It's a machlokas rishonim whether or not women can read for men. Svardim say absolutely a woman can read for men. Ashkenazim, based on a behag, say that the minhag is not to. Whether or not it will work at all,
Has Sparta actually said that?
That's absolutely. 100% women can be motzi men. Whether they should is a different question, but absolutely 100%. Right. According to Sparta, women can be motzi men.
Were the Sephardi women more educated than the Ashkenazi women?
No, nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. I mean, I think nothing to do with it. We're not in the sugya right now, but why shouldn't a woman be able to be motzi a man in Megillah? She has the same obligation to hear it. She's mechuyev the same way. It would seem.
Yeah, but you don't have all the
other five. She's afenayu ba'otones. Afenayu ba'otones. Woman is obligated to hear the Megillah. Ah. So that's the problem. Even though it's man grama, afenayu ba'otones, she's obligated, just like she's obligated in the Arba Kosos, just like she's obligated in Nerot Chanukah, she's obligated in reading the Megillah. And you'll notice that all three of those were derabanan.
I would think this is more about yourself rather than being able to read to other people. Because otherwise you have the other categories of, let's say, your apostle aids. If you are Why
not? Why not?
As if they are of that sort of, I don't know, personality or character trait, then they are...
I think we'd have a lot of trouble if people who are pasal etos couldn't be motzi other people in mitzvahs.
No, why? I think it's a very good point. It's a very good point.
I'm not going to say the name of the person who I asked to be Masada Kedushin. Suffice it to say that he's a big rav. And it's not even Lashon Hara for me to say this. It's more like actually praise. But I went over to him and I asked him to please be Masada Kedushin. He said, well, I have a little bit of a Din Torah coming up and I have to decide. So I hope the Din Torah happens before the wedding because otherwise I might be Pasal Eidus. So we'll have to figure it out. This is a Rosh Hashiva. It's not like, I'm not like being cynical, like, oh, Rosh Hashiva. This is a person with a tremendous amount of integrity. It's easy to be Pasal Eidus.
Okay, so not Pasal Eidus, but...
There must be other things where the categories...
No, there isn't. No, I mean, not really, no. I mean, you have specific mitzvahs. Like, let's say you brought up a murderer, right? A kohen who's killed in the past is not able to do duchening. But that's a whole different thing. Here you're talking about stam. Can a person bench for you if they are, even if they're a murderer? What, they can't? They're chayav misa, so they can't bench for you. Maybe if you take it to that level, maybe. But if you don't take it to that level, if you just he's just not a nice person, so there's no reason why he can't be
misa.
You mean a bardas? Are you referring to the bardas?
Taking it to an interesting angle, which is like hakol kasherim.
That's a good question. Definitely not prepared to talk about that right now. But let's just say, in a normal case, everybody is good except for these three. Okay, let's go to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Man tana cheresh di eved nami lo." Who is the tana? Who is apparently the Tanakhama, who says that even if a Cheresh and Katan were to read, that you wouldn't actually be Yotze with that reading. That's the simplest reading of the Mishnah, right? Mm-hmm. Simplest reading is Hakol Kesherin, which means that these people are not Kesherin, which means that even if you listen to them and you heard them read it, that you wouldn't be Yotze. So who is the author of this Mishnah? Amar Rav Masna Rabbi Yosi. Simple answer, Rabbi Yosi. Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah that says in Gemara and Brachos, Hakoret Shema Veloi Shmil Azno. Yatsa. Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo yatsa. An analogous case, it's not Megillah, it's Shema, but the case is that a person is saying Shema to himself. If he is, if he says it out loud, audibly, so that he can hear it in his ears, then he's Yotze. But if he doesn't, then he's not Yotze. Right? And the Tanakhama says that even if he doesn't hear it, then he is Yotze. Rabbi Yossi is the one who comes along and says, if he doesn't hear it, he's not Yotze. Right? In other words, Rabbi Yossi thinks it's what we call le'ikuva, meaning that the hearing of a bracha or a shema or the Megillah or audible mitzvos, the hearing itself is required. It's le'ikuva. Otherwise, you're not Yotze. So what would that mean? Obviously, about a cheresh. That a cheresh who can't hear himself, can't be motzi himself. He certainly can't be motzi other people. That would be the simplest reading of this Gemara, right? Yeah? Okay. So maybe not. Probably not. This is a big question. We brought this up last night. This is a big question in terms of hearing aids, right? Everybody talks about whether hearing aids allow you to be yotze, right? So what might be pointed out is, if you need a hearing aid, then you don't need to hear the Megillah. If you require a hearing aid to hear the Megillah, then you don't require a hearing aid to hear the Megillah. They didn't have hearing aids during the time of Chazal. You would have been pater. So just because we have hearing aids now, so you're now chayev again?
Why would you have been pater? You just wouldn't have been able to be, you wouldn't have been able to obligate to motzi somebody else.
Why aren't you able to be motzi somebody else? Because what you are doing is not yotze.
But if you could do something that would enable you to be yotze, wouldn't you like if you stick your fingers in your ears and you can't hear, right?
Does that mean that you stick your fingers in?
What?
That's not same thing as we. That's not the same thing as being a cheresh. Being at the moment unable to hear.
You can drink a glass of water and then you can then you can read the Megillah. So
and
then
you're able to.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do to
get. You stick an hearing aid in, you can put a hearing aid in.
So most of the poskim say that that's not the case. You don't have to put in a hearing aid in order to be. You know, there's many things that that technology allows us to do that we didn't used to be able to do. Does that mean that now I have to do it in order to obligate myself in the mitzvah?
Yeah.
Probably not. Probably not.
If you can, if there's a sensible way for you to be able to do it, why would you not be equipped to do it?
Probably not. It has many applications. Another application is pur revu, right? Let's say, are you required to undergo fertility treatment in order to have children? Are you required to? Mitam halacha? Probably not. Okay. So the simplest, the Gemara comes out with the simplest answer, which is Rabbi Yossi, very, very straightforward reading of the Mishnah. Unfortunately, the rest of the Gemara is going to go with a less straightforward reading of the Mishnah. You ready? It's tough. You got to put your hats on. Okay, here we go. If I were to ask you, to name me 20 different Tanaim that could be the author of the rest of the beginning of the Mishnah, you could give me 20 names. You'd name every single Tana. Whose name would you not put on the list? That could be author of the beginning of the Mishnah.
Rabbi
Yossi. No, Rabbi Yossi is the one that we already said.
No, that Tana is Rabbi Meir.
Okay, so Rabbi Meir is good. Who would you not say? Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says. Umimai.
He's in the Mishnah.
He's in the end of the Mishnah.
Right. And he disagrees with the beginning of the Mishnah. Umimai de Rabbi Yossi. Umimai de Rabbi Yossi. Where did I go? Umimai.
Rabbi Yossi
de Rabbi Yossi de Nami Lo. How do you know that the proper way to read this Mishnah is that it's Rabbi Yossi and it's talking about that these three cannot be motzi you even b'diavad? Maybe.
Dilma.
Rabbi Yehudahi ulechat chilahu de lo. Hadiyaved shaper dami. Maybe the beginning of the Mishnah really means that a cheir shoten katan cannot be motziyu lechatchila, meaning we wouldn't ask them to read the Megillah. But if you heard them read the Megillah and you had a havana, then you would actually be yotze. Maybe. So the Gemara says, no, lo salka daitach. And I think everybody's thinking the same thing, why this doesn't make sense, but that's not the first thing that the Gemara says. The first thing the Gemara says is, it doesn't make sense because diktani cheirish dumya de shote vekatan. The actual question the Gemara asks is not about the fact that Rabbi Yehuda seems to disagree with the first part of the Mishnah, which we'll get to, but rather that the Mishnah itself seems to lump a cheresh, a shota, and a katan together. What's the significance of that?
All or nothing.
All or nothing, so what? Well, let's disregard the end of the Mishnah.
About Rabbi Yehuda. One thing I don't understand is I don't understand why we'd lump a katan with a cheresh and a shota.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I
Well, so you answer the question. So you answer. Why would you lump a cheresh and a katan together?
I wouldn't. I would put the katan aside. What put it this way? Let's step back a minute. What's the whole sense here? Is the person can't be yotzei somebody? Why? Why not? Are they able to psychologically or mentally be able to somebody else and be a bardas?
Good. Good. So let's do step by step. Can a katan be motzi other people?
No,
why not?
Because they're too young and they're too immature.
Good. What about a shota?
He doesn't have a
feel.
He's too
crazy. He's not fit.
Child.
He's not fit. And what about a cheresh? What about a cheresh? What about a cheresh?
A child can reason better than a shota.
Okay.
Right? Okay. And then a cheresh doesn't hear anything. It doesn't make a difference one way or the other.
Okay. So which one of them doesn't belong in the category?
I think a katan doesn't belong in the category.
Okay. Interesting idea. Why doesn't a katan belong in the category?
Are
you suggesting that a katan should be able to be motzi people?
I think it's all very relative. There are katanim who are very, very smart and can reason and are reasonable.
You don't think it's an objective thing one way or another that the boy has to be 13 years old in order to be motzi people?
I think that's all a broad general thing. I mean, it's, there has to be, all the rules can't just apply to one person or all the people. They have to generalize it. That's why it is
okay.
The way it is. I mean, that's why, look, they were smart enough to
I'm going to stop you because we're going to get deeper into that when we get to Tosos.
Right, sure.
We're going to get deeper into that. But
I'm getting that $100.
But,
does have the ability to read.
The Shota? I mean, if he's reading, he probably does.
The Klerish. The Klerish.
So let's just focus on what the Gemara is actually saying. The Gemara is making one assumption. The Gemara is saying that whatever you decide, it would seem that it should be the same for all three of them. Now, what we're trying to say is that Rabbi Yehuda believes that the Klerish can be motzi people b'di'evet. What would that mean for a Katan and a Shota? That they would also be able to be motzi people b'di'evet. But the Gemara finds that inconceivable. There's no way that a Katan or a Shota could actually be motzi people b'di'evet. No way. That's an assumption that the Gemara is making, and therefore it will be the same for a Cheresh. That's the first challenge that the Gemara makes. Now, instead of undermining the challenge and saying, no, a Shota and a Katan can be motzi people, the Gemara does something different. The Gemara says, v'dilma hakadeisa v'hakadeisa. What does that mean? Basically, it means this one has its own thing, and this one has its own thing. In other words, the assumption that we made before, that because the Mishnah mentioned all three in the same breath, that it means they all have the same halakha, that's not true. You can separate them. Rabbi Yehuda might have meant, the author of the Mishnah might have meant, a Cheresh is not kasher to read the Megillah lechatchila. A Shota and a Katan are not kasher to read a Megillah even b'di'evet. Okay. Now we've dealt with one challenge of the Gemara. What's the challenge still to come? Rabbi Yehuda himself, at the end of the Mishnah, says that a Katan can read. So, I mean, no matter what you say about the particular halacha, it's very difficult to say that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the beginning and the author of the end.
No, but he could say that the first part of the Mishnah is Luchachila, they can't read. Luchachila and... Wait, he said...
No, it wouldn't. You're going to... Because you're doing backwards. Yeah. So v'hakadisa v'hakadisa. Midiktani seifa Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan michal d'reisha la Rabbi Yehuda hi. So here's the Gemara's question. It says at the end of the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda is machshir b'katan. So that sounds like the reisha is not Rabbi Yehuda. Now, you continue in the Gemara. It says v'dilma kula Rabbi Yehuda hi midami reisha l'psula v'seifa l'ksheira. Now, if you were to leave this in, you'd have a lot of trouble because it's basically a repetition of the same thing I just said. Both those statements say Rabbi Yehuda can't be the author because he's the author of the end and the beginning is against it. Now luckily, you have a little bit of an aleph over there. See the aleph? And it hyperlinks to the Hagav Sabach on the side. Right? The Hagav Sabach on the side tells you, take a look at Rashi. So we're going to jump over to Rashi. And Rashi says, where it says, Lo Dami Reisha Lepsula, it's right next to that Bach. You guys see it? Lo Dami Reisha Lepsula V'Seifa L'Hachshira. Logar sinan lay, delishna yaseirahu. What does Rashi tell us? He says, scratch that out. Scratch that line out. It's unnecessary. It's extra. It doesn't belong in the Gemara. So we're going to listen to Rashi. We're going to skip over it. Okay? So we're going to skip over it because it repeats the same thing that we already said. And we're going to jump to Vidilma kula Rabbi Yehudahi. See where I am? Vidilma kula Rabbi Yehudahi, like two lines after that little aleph. Maybe the Mishnah, maybe the Gemara says, maybe it really is all Rabbi Yehuda. How are we going to pull that off? Here's the kicker. Betray gavne katan ketani la. This is what Rashi Rosenzweig said. There are two kinds of ketanim. So what do you think it means before we continue? What do you mean two kinds of ketanim? Okay. How do you know which one's which? How do you know what kind of katan you're dealing with? So I have a feeling Rashi is going to say it's subjective. You have to look at the kid and you have to decide, is he mature? So,
the kid can read Megillah.
Okay. Probably. I don't know. My son read the Megillah.
Milk, I mean.
My son can read the Megillah.
No,
not the real Megillah.
The Mesorah, the Temanim, I know that every week they have a child laying from the Sefer Torah. They don't wait for Bar Mitzvah. But, I've never been there for a Megillah myself.
Let me put it this way. Now, Stalmud's 12-year-old son would be better reading the Megillah
than me. Right, absolutely.
Right.
Why don't you take benching?
I think it might be okay.
There are loads of kids who are like 5 years old.
Who
can say the whole of benching?
Well, we discussed this yesterday. Amongst the Sephardim, 6-year-olds can join a Mezumin.
Am I there?
What you said?
Amongst and the Sephardim, 6-year-olds can join the Mizumin.
Also, you told me that children with Rachman Letzan have lost their parents. They're 13. I heard this from Rabbi Beller some time ago. Children who have lost their parents, if they were under bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah age, they're ready to come with the glory. Like, if they're boys, they have to come up to fill in and stuff.
Okay. Yep. I don't know. So let's continue. So what happened? So now we get to the Chasuri Mechsura. Chasuri Mechsura is one of the tough things that the Gemara sometimes does. Right? We've discussed this before. Gemara has many different ways of resolving contradictions. You have a line here and you have a line there. We have to figure out what to do. There are many different tactics. You can say, oh, this is talking about this situation. That one's talking about a different situation. You can say, oh, this is what he really meant. Chasuri Mechsura takes the, this is what he really meant, to the extreme. Because what does Chasuri Mechsura mean? It means something was missing. They're literally going to change the Mishnah. They're going to say, the Mishnah does not have all the information you need. There are words missing. So what are they going to do? They're going to say,
this is all because
we want Rabbi Yehuda to be, we can work it out. We can just say it's Rabbi Yossi and we'll be done. Shalom al Yisrael. By the way, let's take a step back. Why are we interested in who wrote the Mishnah? Who cares? Why does it matter? Think of any answer, any answer. Why do we ever care who wrote a Mishnah? It will help us know what he's thinking. How will it help us know what he's thinking? Good, perfect. Because maybe if we can figure out what he's saying, then maybe we can look at other statements and either A, find support, or B, you can find a contradiction. And then you have to resolve that contradiction. You might learn something else. Why else might we want to know? Think halacha. Does it make a difference if it's Rabbi Meir or if it's Rabbi Akiva? It makes a big difference who the author is. You have to know who it is. Both of those are going to be the case over here. So all of this whole section over here is just to try to figure out if we can actually fit Rabbi Yehuda into being the author of the beginning of the Mishnah. So now we're going to do that by changing the Mishnah. Chasuri Mechsura, V'hachiktani. This is what it should say. This is what the revised version of the Mishnah is. The big question about Chasuri Mechsur is, why didn't they just change the Mishnah if they were so sure that this is correct? Why don't we have this version of the Mishnah? But we don't. And they felt comfortable saying, this is what the Mishnah should have said? Okay. Sometimes it's not an opinion. Sometimes it's a conclusion. And then they still don't change it.
But they're not going to change the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a closed book.
If it's wrong?
Even if it's wrong, you close the 200, they closed the Mishnah. That's it.
Maybe. Chazir Mechsur Achitani. I call Ksheir Likos as Megillah. So far, so good. Chutz Bichair Shotev Katan. So far, so good. Bame Dvarim Amurim. What are we talking about? Bekatan Shaloi Gehla Chinuch. Ava Bekatan Shigi Lechinuch. Afilo Chatchila. A Katan Shigi Lechinuch. Even the Chatchila he can read. Shabbi Yehuda Machshir Bekatan. Where does Rabbi Yehuda come in this Mishnah? He's just a citation. He's not a new opinion. He's an explanation of the Mishnah. Now, this could be everybody, and this is really all Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so now, what do we have? What do we have over here now?
A reading that could be Rabbi Yehuda, the whole Mishnah.
Right, and what happens if Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Mishnah? What happens to the people in the Mishnah? What happens to the Chayav Shoteh V'Katan? They cannot read or they can read?
They can read, yes.
Well, you tell me, man. They can read or they can't read?
No, they can read, Rabbi Yehuda. But Cotton, who is, what did we say?
Well, we didn't say it. He'll be lechatchila. Good. When we had Rabbi Yossi, when we had the author of Rabbi Yossi, what was the halacha then?
They're out
completely, right? So there you go.
It was a strange wording for the Mishnah to give Rabbi Yehuda giving both. If you hold that the katan is valid,
that's why they revised the Mishnah. Basically, the whole Mishnah is consistent with Rabbi Yehuda.
In which case, you shouldn't mention a katan at all.
No, it mentions a distinction about a katan. There's an important distinction about a katan. Some katanim can only read b'diavad, and some katanim can even read the chatchila. How do I know? Because Rabbi Yehuda said that there are some katanim that can read the chatchila. So now the Gemara says exactly what we just summed up. It says, b'mayu kimta. So what are we saying over here? Basically, at this point, we're saying, b'mayu kimta, Rabbi Yehuda u'diavad. We're saying it's Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah means that everybody's, that even these ones are able to read even b'diavad. Elahatani Rabbi Huda Braid Rabbi Shimon Mpazi, Kheri Shamadab Raveno Shamea Tarim Khathila, money. Now don't get confused. This Rabbi Huda Braid Rabbi Shimon Mpazi is not our Rabbi Huda. He's not our Rabbi Huda. But nevertheless, the Braisa says that somebody says, Rabbi Huda Braid Rabbi Shimon Mpazi, somebody says that Hatorim Kheri Shamadab Raveno Shamea Tarim Khathila. What does Tarim mean? Can read? Torah. Milashon? Truma. Truma. He can give truma. Why is it a big deal that a cheresh can give truma? Why shouldn't he be able to give truma? Lechatchila. It's a big deal. No, you don't have to make a statement out loud. You make a bracha out loud. As Rashi said, not that. It's not talking about that. It's not talking about vidui meiser. It's talking about a bracha that you make on giving truma. It's talking about the bracha that you make as you give truma. Rashi is
Vav Bishu Sarach Lavarech Vinorznam Shamos and Bracha.
I can't say anything because I have to do it.
It's really annoying.
Yeah.
I can't tell you guys anything.
So you might think that a cheresh should not be able to do it. In other words, if you had two people in front of you, have a cheresh and a non cheresh, who should be doing the truma? The non cheresh. Why? Because he can make a bracha. And the cheresh, you would think, can't make the bracha. And if he can't make the bracha, then he shouldn't be able to do lechatchila. That's for sure true. If he can't make the bracha, then he shouldn't be doing lechatchila. So what does Rabbi Yehuda, Breda, Rav Shimon, and Pazi, what must he think? That a cheresh can make a bracha, even lechatchila. So now, the Gemara is going to ask a simple question. It's actually not so simple. This is probably the softest part of the Gemara to try to figure out what exactly was bothering them.
This doesn't mean that Rabbi Yehuda can't be the author of the Mishnah.
Well, hold on. The Gemara is going to want to know the following question. Who, money, it says money. Who, in whose tradition is Rabbi Yehuda, Braid Rabbi Shimon Mpazi following? Whose tradition is he following? There are only two options. There's Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara says, okay. Rabbi Yossi, the Evet Namilo, can't be Rabbi Yossi because Rabbi Yossi wouldn't even allow the Cheresh to actually even give Truma. Sorry, he would know. He would allow him to give Truma, but he wouldn't allow him to make a bracha. So, but the Evet, he wouldn't even be allowed to do it. Right? And Rabbi Yehuda, what about him? Elamai Rabbi Yehuda? Vafilu lechatchila. Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't allow it lechatchila. He would say, b'diavad, that you can do it. But he wouldn't say lechatchila, just like by the Megillah. He said a cheresh can read the Megillah, but only b'diavad. He wouldn't say that a cheresh can be Torah lechatchila, would he? So, what are we stuck? We're stuck. We can't attribute Rabbi Yehuda, Beder, Rabbi Shimon, and Pazi to neither Rabbi Yehuda nor Rabbi Yossi.
So this proof doesn't actually help us at all.
Well, what it means is that we need to fix this and say, well, what the Gemara is going to do is we're going to say, no, it's got to be Rabbi Yehuda. And if that's the case, then we must have misread Rabbi Yehuda going backwards. Right?
I didn't get that.
We need to be able to fit this brisa of Rabbi Yehuda, Beder, Rabbi Shimon, and Pazi into either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi. We need to. Because they're the ones who have the tradition about what happens when a person reads. That's the best I can do to explain why. So, if it's not Rabbi Yossi, and it's definitely not Rabbi Yossi, then it's going to have to be Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda says that you can only read with the Yevet. So the Gemara says, V'lamai Rabbi Yehuda v'afil l'chatchila. Maybe it's got to be Rabbi Yehuda and even l'chatchila, in which case, we're blocked out of the Mishnah. Now we can no longer say that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Mishnah because you cannot read the Mishnah as saying lechatchila. So fine, so we won't read the Mishnah as being lechatchila. So what are we stuck with? Must be Rabbi Yossi. Must be Rabbi Yossi. Okay? So we did all this ma'amatz to get Rabbi Yehuda into the Mishnah, and now we find out that he's locked out. Because if he would be the author of the Mishnah, then he would only be able to say that it's b'di'eved, in which case we'd have nobody to say that you can do it lechatchila, and that's inconceivable. But no, have no fear. The Gemara continues. Only a little bit more. The Gemara says, Elad etani lo yevarech adam b'yirkat hamazon b'libo v'imbireich yatza money. But wait a second. There is a third opinion. Because here is an explicit one that says, lo yevarech adam b'yirkat hamazon b'libo v'imbireich yatza. A person should not say b'yirkat hamazon to himself without saying it out loud, without making it audible, without vocalizing the words. But if he does, b'di'avad is yatza, right? Now, wait a second. Now we're stuck again. Because Rabbi Yossi said you can't even do it b'di'avad. And Rabbi Yehuda, up until now, we said that you can even do it l'chatchila. So who's going to be the author of this? There must be a third opinion. Lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Yossi. I Rabbi Yehuda afil l'chatchila, I Rabbi Yossi afil v'di'evet nami'lo. Yeah, real. If
Rabbi Yehuda would have held the chatchila for
sake, yeah. At all. This is a middle position. Rabbi Yossi is all the way on the Machmir spectrum, on the Machmir side of the spectrum. Rabbi Yehuda seems to be all the way on the Mekel side of the spectrum. Nobody's in the middle. So the Gemara is going to do, so this is another contradiction, and the Gemara is going to use another way of solving a contradiction. This is another popular way of solving a contradiction. Turn the page. The Olam Rabbi Yehuda v'afil l'chatchila. Rabbi Yehuda really does think it's okay l'chatchila. V'lo kasha. And don't worry about the contradictions. Hadidei adirabe. What does that mean? Exactly. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, in this case is his teacher. Hakore et Shema, Tzerech Sheyashmi Lozno. Shneimar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashma Loznacha Mashata Motze Mipicha. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah learns from the Torah that you have to hear your Shema, because it says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You have to hear in your ears what you're taking out of your mouth. The other opinion, Rabbi Meir Omer, Asher Anochi Mitzav Chayom Alavavecha, Achar Kavanas Halev, Hein Hein Advarim. Rabbi Meir says, no, you learn from a different Pasuk in Shema that you don't need to hear what you say, because it says, B'chol Avavcha, Alavavecha, sorry, which means that it's good enough to have just Kavanas Halev. So here, right here, Rabbi Lezman Azariah takes the middle position. I know it's hard to see, but he's taking a middle position, because as Rashi says, the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Lezman Azariah thinks that the Torah says that you have to hear it, but if you don't hear it, you still can be Yotze. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, even the Chatchila, you don't have to hear it. So now, at this point in the Gemara, what we get to say is that Rabbi Yossi is all the way on the Machmir side of the spectrum by himself. He thinks that you need to hear it, and if you don't hear it, you're not Yotze. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is in the middle of the spectrum. He says that you need to hear it, but if you don't, you can still be Yotze. Rabbi Yehuda, apparently, they want to say, is all the way on the Mekel side of the spectrum. And he says that you don't at all need to hear it, even l'chatchila, atorim l'chatchila. A cherish is able to be torim l'chatchila because he can say the bracha even though he can't hear it.
So he's like Rabbi Meir.
Good. So the Gemara says, hashda da'as is l'hachi. Afilutem Rabbi Yehuda karabeis v'rele. V'adetani Yehuda b'reidu Rabbi Shimon and Pazir Meir hi. We don't have to be dochek and say hadidei hadirabe, that Rabbi Yehuda is split. Sometimes he's himself, sometimes he's a stand-in for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We can say that there are three legitimate positions, all held by different people. Rabbi Yossi is where we left him, all the way on the side of the spectrum that says what? That is likuva, even midiyava, that you can't do it. Rabbi Meir is all the way on the other side of the spectrum, as he is over here. He says, even l'chatchila, you can do it. And who is Rabbi Yehuda b'reidu Rabbi Shimon ben Pasi?
No.
Rabbi Meir. Torah l'chatchila. Torah l'chatchila is Rabbi Meir. And where is Rabbi Yehuda? Smack in the middle.
No, Rabbi Yehuda
was Rabbi Meir. No. At Ashtar Da'as is we don't have to say that. Ashtar Da'as is l'hachi. Rabbi Yehuda is where? Standing smack in the middle. Right? Yeah. With his Rabbi, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Going back for a second, just so we don't lose track. Who's the author of our Mishnah? We have a nice spread. It could be Rabbi Yossi, right? It could, in theory, be Rabbi Yehuda, if he would be all the way on the... Sorry, Or it could be Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda is in the middle of the road with his Rabbi, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and you could say that it's b'di'eved, you can be Yotze with the Cheresh. But of course, the Mishnah can't be Rabbi. I mean, I don't know what Rabbi Meir would say, but the Mishnah is definitely not saying that that the Cheresh can be Yotze, can be motzi l'chatchila. That's definitely not a valid read in the Mishnah. Okay. Is everything clear? Basically, if I were to boil everything down, there are several different sources. Okay? We have the Mishnah. We have Rabbi Yehuda b'reidu Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. We have Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is the one who says, we have the whole Shema, right? We have the Rav Masna quote from Brachos. We have Rabbi Yossi who explicitly says that you can't be Yotze Shema unless you hear, right? But then we have Rabbi Yehuda b'reidu Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, who says Torah l'chatchila, right? Then we have this other one about Birkat HaMazon that was at the bottom. Don't forget that one. That was a middle of the road one. And then we finally have these sources, this source, really important source, or Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Meir, really important, who also expand the spectrum. Okay? And what it ends up is that there's a little bit of a mishmash, a question about who is the author of the Mishnah. The Gemara does not seem to conclude. You can't really read conclusively from this Gemara whether the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda. Can't conclude conclusively. The question about who we paskin like is itself a thorny question. I'm actually going to go away from the Cheresh. Okay? I want to talk more about the Katan tonight. Last night we talked about the Cheresh. Tonight we're going to talk about the Katan. Take a look at this Tosfos over here. Big Tosfos in the middle. Oh, go back for a second. Who is the Katan? Who's the Katan who's able to be Motzi people? So Rashi, on the words, Bamed Dvarim Amurim BeKatan Shelo Yigei LeChinuch. This is like the sixth Rashi from the bottom. Rashi says, L'chinuch mitzvos kigon ben teisha uben eser. In other words, the cutoff line is 9 or 10. Up until 9 or 10, he can't read. After 9 or 10, then he can read. Obviously, the 9 or 10 is a bow to the subjective nature of this, that he has to be able to understand what he's doing. He has to understand what the Megillah is about and understand what the mitzvah is. But now let's look at Tosos on the side over here. The third Tosos, the long one. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Kashe. Beis HaKatan Mayri. Ibelo Igiya Lechinuch. My time at Rabbi Yehuda the Machshir. V'hamrinu B'sof Perak Basra, the Rosh Hashanah. Kol She'enu M'chuyah B'davar, Ein Motzi Acherim B'dei Chobasan. He says, forget Rashi for a second. What's going on here? What kind of Katan is this? If he's not a Gadol, right? If he's not 13, so then he would fall under the rule of Kol She'enuch Mechuyav B'davar, Ein Motzi Acherim B'dei Chobasan, which is explicit Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. If he's not Mechuyav, and you can't say that the 13-year-old, the 12-year-old rather, is Mechuyav in Megillah, in the same sense that an adult is Mechuyav, so he shouldn't be able to be Motzi other people because of this rule. Now, keep in mind, that's a rule. In other words, it's not self-evident that somebody who's not able to be, who does not have a chiyuv can't be motzi other people. That's a rule. That's a rule set aside in, set up in Rosh Hashanah. But it's a rule. V'higia l'chinuch, if he has reached the age of chinuch, my time at the Rabbanan de Pasli, v'halo kol ha'achirim nami ein chayavin alami de Rabbanan. But if he is higia l'chinuch, right? Take a step back. If he's not a Gil Chinuch, not 13, rather. If he's not a Gil Chinuch, let's say even Rashi, 9-10. Okay? If he's not a Gil Chinuch, so then, of course he can't be Motzi other people. Even Bediyavet, he can't be Motzi other people. Because he's not Chayav. That's a sin qua non of being able to be Motzi other people. It's required. But if he is a Gil Chinuch, so then, what's the problem? Why would anybody be postulate? Why would the Rabbanan be postulate? So Tosa says, my time with the Rabbanan de Pasiva, nami in chayav in alami de Rabbanan. What would you say? You would say he's not chayav. Why? Because he's definitely not chayav d'oraisa, right?
Yeah.
Because no katan is chayav d'oraisa, right? But guess what? Noah is chayav d'oraisa in Megillah. Everybody's the Rabbanan, so everybody should be on level playing field. Does anybody know before we even go further what Tosfos is going to respond to that? So the question here is,
there's two separate mitzvah here.
What do you mean?
One is a mitzvah of hearing the Megillah.
Yeah.
The other mitzvah is to educate your kids.
Good. So Tosfos is going to say what Mary said just in a different language, but let me reiterate what Tosfos' question is. The question is, why is the Katan not on the same playing field with an adult? After all, they're both obligated in some sense. And their obligation is, for both of them, definitely capped at Darabana, not Daraisa. So they should be on the same playing field. They're chayiv in the same ways. So Tosa says, no. Vibkein kasha, my lo amrina da'ati Darabana, namakim Darabana. Why don't we say that the one who's obligated to be Darabana can be Motzi, the one who's obligated Darabana? Da'achanami amrina perik misha mesu, the ben mevarich la'aviv, afa pi shehu katan v'yotza b'birkato, that there are times that a child, a katan, can say birkat hamazon for his father and be motzi him. What times can you do that? First of all, the obligation of birkat hamazon is daraisa. Birkat hamazon is daraisa. So why would a child be able to be motzi an adult? After all, the adult is obligated to write. So the child is obligated only to the Rabbanah.
A child that's been saying Birchat Hamazon by himself for quite some time.
It's not going to make him Chayim D'Oraisa.
But he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. There's an issue with Das there.
Yeah, but he's eaten. And he's...
We have a rule. But we have a rule. Kol she'enu mechuyav b'davar, enu motziyach haridei chavasa. If you're not obligated on the same level as the other person, you can't be, you can't fulfill that.
But you're from a kind in the mitzvah because you're understanding. You, there's a rut somewhere.
But he's not chayav in the mitzvah.
The circumstance where the father is chayav, so maybe he's a
shayav. Almost. You're close. You're close.
He's not chayav.
So when is Birkat HaMazon D'Oraisa?
If you're Soveya.
Only if you're a Soveya. Do we only make a Birkat HaMazon when we're Soveya?
Yeah.
No. On a Kazayas. In the Rabbana, we make it on a Kazayas. So what's the case?
Father hasn't had a Kazayas.
Father has had a Kazayas, but he's not Soveya. And the child has had, let's assume, has had a full meal. So then the father's only obligated to be the Rabbana, and the child is only obligated to be the Rabbana. Ben mevarich la'aviv alfa bishukatim v'yotza birkato moki lahatim kigon sha'achal ha'av kezayis o kebeitza da'av ishura d'rabanan v'alti katan shechiyuv d'rabanan u'mapik ha'av shelo achal ala shiura d'rabanan. Exactly what we just said. You worked it out.
The Ben Zani mechuyuv d'rabanan of birchas hamazon via chinuch. He's mechuyuv in chinuch, not mechuyuv in birchas hamazon.
Right. You're right. Tosa's making a leap over here. V'amai lo aminen came b'megillah. But notice that Tosis is making that leap. Tosis is saying that the obligation of the child, even though it only comes mitam chinuch, is the same as the obligation of an adult who only had a kazais. They would seem to be of different flavors, but yet he judges them the same. Why don't we say the same thing by Megillah? Why don't we say the same thing by Megillah? Ati d'rabanan u'mabik d'rabanan. That was the question that Meir is going to, that Meir answered. V'chein v'perek lulav ha-gazel, da'amar in katan motzi v'kriyas halal v'onin acharav, ma'ashen o'mer, ma'ish nami b'rkas ha-mazon. The same question by halal. V'yesh lomar. Right, this is how Tosfos answers questions. V'yesh lomar. Vav yud lamed. V'yesh lomar. D'lo lamayir b'katan shigil l'chinoch. We're talking about a katan that is higil l'chinoch. V'afil achi pasar rabana mishum, d'megila leka chiyuva afilu b'gdol l'mel b'dor rabana. That's the money line. The katan is a second degree drabanan, and the adult is only a 1 degree drabanan.
To water down drabanan.
Exactly. The katan is obligated.
He's only mechuyav the rabbanon via his chinuch the rabbanon, so he's like getting it via the fact that he's chayav.
His father's obligation.
His father is chayav with the rabbanon straight from God. He's chayav via chinuch.
Well, the father, the adult, is be'etzem chayav in Megillah the rabbanon. The katan is not be'etzem chayav in Megillah the rabbanon. He's not be'etzem chayav in anything.
No, but how is that different to the benching?
So the benching example is the child ate a full meal.
No,
he ate a full meal.
He's right.
No, but he's still under the age.
Yeah.
He's only a chad derabanan. He's a chad derabanan. And the adult is a chad derabanan.
But he's mechuyav derabanan to say birchas hamazon only via the fact that he's mechuyav derabanan on chinuch. So it's the
it's still a chad derabanan.
There Tosus made the leap. Here he's not making
the leap. No. Tosus is doing math. Tosus says all derabanans are equal. Okay? All the rabbanans are equal. In the case of Birkat HaMazon, the child is obligated midu rabbanan.
How is he obligated midu rabbanan any differently than he is obligated here to
because the Megillah itself is only midu rabbanan.
But the father's mechuyavut to say Birkat HaMazon because he's not satiated is also midu rabbanan. What's the difference? Why would he not be able? His father is mechuyav derabanan for berachas hamazon.
How many derabanans are there? How many derabanans are there in Megillah for the father?
One.
Right. How many derabanans are there for the Megillah for the child? Two.
How many mechuyavot are there? How many midrabanans are there for the father who's not satiated for berachas hamazon?
One.
And how many are there for the kid?
One.
Two. Because he also ate.
No, he had a full meal. If he were an adult, he would be a chayav d'oraisa. That's the idea. If he were an adult, he would be chayav d'oraisa. He ate the d'oraisa shir. But he's only chayav d'rabanan.
It's a question. To have a, let's say, I don't know, taking the lulav on the second day, something like that.
Yeah.
So, father and son.
Right.
The second day, everyone's father's midrabban on the second day, right?
Right.
So,
the child won't be able to do it for the same reason he can't read the Megillah.
Because he's a double.
Right.
Exactly. Whereas on the first day.
Also can't.
Because he is a
midrabban. Yeah, exactly. That's the calculus that the Tosos is doing. As he continues, v'lo ati d'rabbanu d'rabbanu v'mapikha d'rabbanu v'ahayi d'birkat amazon mayri shakatan achal k'dei seviyah. See, you're right. Tosos is making ukimta in the Gemara. The Gemara never actually said that the child ate k'dei seviyah. Tosos is saying that. It's mistaber. It makes a lot of sense. So they're both chad rabbanon, and that's why he's able to do it. Let's stop there. Look at the sheets. And let's look at how Rabbi Akiva Eger, what he says. Rabbi Akiva Eger, basically, this is a Gemara in Brachos that he's commenting on this Gemara in Brachos about the Birkat HaMazon. So he addresses our Tosos in Megillah. That's what it says: Sham Elahacha b'Mayaskinen Kegon Shachol Shiro Derabanan Daati Derabanan Umapik Derabanan. So he's quoting the Tosos over there. Midelo Kamar, you see where I am? Midelo Kamar, yeah. Kegon Daachli Inu Shiro Daraisa V'Ihu Achol Shiro Derabanan Mashma DeBemes B'Kol Gavni Motzi Inaf B'Sha Achlu Gam Him Rakiz Ayisok Beitza. Rabbi Kivikar doesn't like the ukimta that Tosos made in that Gemara in Brachos. He doesn't think that the child ate a shiur d'araisa k'dei seviya, because the Gemara doesn't say that. It never says it. So he thinks that the Gemara applies even when what? When the child ate only a kazayas, which according to Tosos would be a trei d'rabanan. Being mapik a chad rabbanan, which shouldn't work. It's against the rules going to Tosos. So how is Rabbi Akiva Eger going to get out of this? So he's going to say, "V'im tomer b'kai gavna ma yotziu? How could it be yotziim? V'ha gamelu achlu hen kedei sviya nami lo mechayvi ki im derabbanan. V'im ken kshachlu rak kazayis haveluhu inu trei derabbanan." He's telegraphing our entire point. V'echal to trei derabbanan mapik chad rabbanan. This is Tosos' question. How would that work? What would happen if you had an adult who ate a full meal and another adult who ate only a kezias, and the one who ate the kezias wants to bench for the one who ate k'dei sviya? What would happen? Would he be allowed to do that?
No.
You would think he wouldn't, right?
He is.
You would think he would be allowed to do that,
no,
right?
He is. I just don't understand.
It would make a lot of sense to say, you're not chayev midaraisa, so you can't be motzi the other person who's chayev. You're not chayev, who is chayev midaraisa. That would make a lot of sense, right? Mm-hmm. But we don't say that. Of course he could. V'hatam, the Birkat HaMazon, who mi berachos ha-mitzvah, so midina, af b'lo achal klal, yachal hotzi, ela ba'i sheyochal kazayis mikoach ha-asmachta, devachat av savata v'ach demi shachal hu yivarech. He says, no, it's a Birkat HaMitzvah, which is a big chiddush in and of itself. But what he's saying is that, what principle is he going to be invoking over here? What famous principle is he invoking? About the idea that, even though I'm not obligated on the same level as you, I can still say the bracha for you? Without saying it yet. I don't think he says it at all. What? Call you sorry if you said that. That even though I have not personally obligated myself in what you're obligated in, I still have the power to be motzi you. Right? He says, then he kind of like, without actually asking the question, he points out one thing that, what could you ask if that were the case? So then maybe I don't need to eat anything. What if I didn't eat anything? Can I say Birkat HaMazon for you? He says, no. It says, v'achal tevzavata v'rachta. V'isha ochal hu yivarech. You can't make a bracha if you didn't eat. Okay, so you have to have a minimum amount of involvement in order to actually, you can't just go around saying Birkat HaMazon for different people. But okay.
He's saying it's Birchas HaMitzvah, not Birchas HaNen.
Yeah, he seems to be saying. It's definitely not Birchas HaNen. It would be Birchas HaDah.
Ah.
Ve'enu ma'aki b'zeh rak chisaron dekat. So what's the deal with the child? What's the deal with the child?
Why can't he be married for an adult?
Exactly. What do you think?
He's not 5 yet at all.
In which case? What's the most radical way of saying that? Which means? Say it. There is no arevos. There's no arevos by a katan. Ve'enu ma'aki b'zeh rak chisaron dekatnus. The only thing that ruins this is katnus, being small, being young. So, in which case, the child, let me take a step back. No, Rabbi Kiv Eger doesn't think that. Rabbi Kiv Eger says that the problem with the katan is normally, is normally if the father is obligated on a daraisa level, so then the child is not in that. But the second the father drops to a derabanan level, so then they are on the same footing. And then it doesn't matter how many derabanans there are. It doesn't matter how many derabanans there are. Once they're in the same ballpark, then the child can do it. Da'gavra ba'atzmuto lav bar chiyuva de mitzvah klal. If the child is not bar chiyuva the mitzvah, i.e. a mitzvah deraisa, so then of course he can't do anything. Imkein v'meile yachal hotzi lugato shachal kazayis v'lo mikir beiz derabanan. I don't care about beiz derabanan. I don't care about it, Rabbi Kiv Eger says. The mashenu b'chiyuva atam yitzat shalachal kadei sviya zehu enu mazik klal d'mikol makom bar chiyuva hu ilu yochal. Because the child who eats only a kazayas, which Tosus calls a trei derabanan, is functionally the same as an adult who ate only a kazayas and is trying to be motzi somebody who ate kadei sfiyah.
Except he doesn't have
his responsibility.
He's not in
college. No, so forget that for a moment.
He says it doesn't matter if it's two derabanan versus one.
Yes. He says as long as you could have become obligated in the same way as that other person, meaning the child could have eaten a full shear and been chayav chad derabanan, so it doesn't matter that he only ate kazayas and he wasn't. Just like an adult who could have eaten a full meal and become chayav. In terms of Megillah?
Yeah, how can you have an opinion? So,
that's the Rabbanan. That's the Rabbanan. You're right, that's the Rabbanan. That's what the Rabbanan think. They think that you can't. Tosus' question was, I understand Rabbi Yehuda. Why did the Rabbanan think that it won't work? Rabbi Yehuda's machshir b'katan. He's machshir b'katan. Why? That's a separate story. We're trying to figure out what the Rabbanan. Why are the Rabbanan not machshir b'katan? So Tosus' answer was what? It's a trade de Rabbanan. It's a trade de Rabbanan. What's Rabbi Kivager's answer?
Maybe.
Did he even reference Megillah? No, he didn't. Right. So the answer to that is going to be, I believe, it's Arvus. Right?
Why can't he go with Rabbi Yehuda's reading that the ratio in the Mishnah is talking about the Yehuda, that is talking about the
Yehuda? Say again?
Why can't we say that
right, that's what Rabbi Yehuda thinks.
So why do we say that Rabbi Kiva holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the first part of the mission is talking about Rabbi Yehuda? Sorry, not Rabbi Yehuda.
No. Hold on. What do you mean? First of all, you have to keep in mind this Tosos is in the middle of the Gemara. So it hasn't gotten really to the... It's gotten to the distinction between Higila Chinuch and Einu Higila Chinuch. And now we're talking about the one who's Higila Chinuch. And Rabbi Yehuda apparently says that the one who's Higila Chinuch can read Lechatchila. And the Rabbana don't think so. Right? So the question is, why don't the Rabbana think so? So he's saying, so Tosa says, because it's a trade derabanan. And Rabbi Kiva Eger says, let's hold off on that for 1 second, whatever he says about that. I wanted to show you the Chazon Ish and what he says in response to Riki Vega. The Chazon Ish says, "V'tamed b'divrei atosos b'megillah de'lo kasukei menira b'das atosos b'katan." Can you guys read this or no?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The b'katan lo tiknu chachamim arvus. Right? He says it's actually Tosos who thinks this. Tosos thinks that the katan is not barvus. V'ein arvus hagadolim al haktanim. V'ilkachin katan motzi legadol el hechi dechayev ba'atzmo. Kedin berchas hananin. I'll explain this in a minute. V'ilkachin motzi alaim achal shiro d'oraisa v'agadol shiro d'rabbanan. אבל אם אחר הקטן גם כן שיר דרבנן, הביטרי דרבנן, לא חשיב הברכה לגבי היי, וכן אין קטן שהתפל על מוצי לאישה שהתפללה בקידוש היום, זה הביטרי דרבנן. Okay, let me explain what happened over here. I have to throw another rule in. Okay? There are two rules that often get confused. Okay? There is basically what we would call something similar to Shomei Kona, where basically... I do a mitzvah, and because I'm obligated, so I'm doing it, and then you come along with me. And then there's afal pi sheyatza motzi, that even if I actually have already fulfilled my mitzvah, I don't have the same obligation as you. I can still do it, and you can be motzi with yotze with me.
Okay.
That second principle is based on arvus. That second principle says that we're going to do this because I am actually responsible for you. Okay, Chazon Ish is saying, what's shitas tosfos? Tosfos believes that the katan is not responsible for an adult in any circumstance. He's never responsible for an adult. He's not ba'arvus. It's not bechla arvus. Tosfos is the one who says that. Which means that if the katan is not on the same level as the adult, he can't do anything for the adult. Because he's not responsible for him. If he can manage to get to the same level as the adult, then he can be motzi the adult. How? How? Shomei Kona, because I'm basically doing it for you. I'm doing it for you. Okay? There are two ways to be motzi another person. Either that we are both the same level, and therefore when I do it, it's like you're doing it. And the other way is to say that even though I'm not doing it because I don't have to do it, but I'm responsible for you, so I can actually be motzi. So
you shouldn't have to eat.
So
why?
Saying if I'm not
responsible
for you, it's like I'm doing it for you, even though is that only applicable on Brechas Hanenin, or it could be on any kind of brocha?
Because
for instance, Kiddush, which is what he brought up, right. Kiddush is a famous case, right? Kiddush is a very famous case. There's a Dagal Merivava who says, the Dagal Merivava is the same person as the Noda Behuda, same person as the Tzach. So in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, he has a famous comment that everybody yells about. This Rabbi Kiva Eger is on the Dagal, there's another Rabbi Kiva Eger, but that's on the Dagal Merivava, but it's all Saviv, the same thing. They have an argument about whether or not women are Bichlal Arvos. Like we're arguing about Ketanim, same thing about women. Why would this be important? You go to Shul on Friday night, right? You say Shmoneh Esrei. In Shmoneh Esrei is Vayechulu. Maybe even you hear a Kiddush in Shul. Then you come home. And you make Kiddush again. Why do you make Kiddush again? Well, first of all, you have to. But you also are making Kiddush for
your family,
including your wife. Now, for your children, fine. But your wife is obligated midoraisa, even though it's mitzvah atzei shehazman grama, kol sheyeshno b'zachar, shama b'zachar b'dibur echad, they're obligated in Kiddush on Shabbos. How can you, who've already been Yotze, Kiddush and Shul, come home and be motzi your wife? So now this is usually not a problem. If it were me coming home to be motzi David, it's not a problem. Because, but the Dalgam Revava says, but women aren't Bechlal Arvos. How he knows that is a separate question. How he claims he knows that is a separate question. If women are not Bechlal Arvos, then how can you do that? You're already Yotze. So you don't have an obligation anymore. So you can't do this anymore. You can't do that. It's a bracha levatala, and your wife is not yotzi with you because you don't have an obligation. So everybody has different ways of dealing with this. You can either attack the question and say,
the whole question is not true. Or you can try to figure out a way to solve it. In other words, let's say, for instance, in Kiddush and Shul, in Vayichulu at least, we don't mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's a Deya in Psachim that says, this is what Minchas Chinuch says, there's a Deya in Psachim that says that if you don't mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, you didn't say Kiddush. That's a way of attacking the symptom, right, of solving the problem. Rabbi Kiva Eger thinks the whole thing is wrong. Of course women are Bechlal Arvas. Whoever said that they weren't. This Tosos and this Chazanish, right, are on the Dagom Rebaba side. They're saying that there are people who are not Bechlal Arvas. Right? And this is not my Chiluk. If you, that's what the Chazanish is saying. The Chazanish is saying that that's the Machlokas between Rabbi Kiva Eger and Tosos. Tosos believes that Ketanim... That B'ktanim are not B'arvos.
Meaning?
That they, if they're not obligated right now in the same way as the adult, then they can't be Motzi the adult. Because they're not responsible for the adult. If they would be responsible for the adult, then everything would be great. It wouldn't even matter if they were obligated the same way. Just like an adult who ate a kezias can be Motzi an adult who ate a full shear. Right? Or an adult who ate let's say that. Just like that works, so to a katan who would be able to do the same thing. Like a Ricky Vager says, right? But the reason why Tosus doesn't allow that is because he thinks that a katan is not barvus, and therefore that doesn't work. Ricky Vager thinks that he is barvus, and therefore the katan, even being a trade rabbanan, can be motzi an adult on the basis of barvus, yeah. As long as it's only Durabanan. If it was Duraisa, then it would be a different story. So the Dagom Rebava thinks that all things being equal, you would not be allowed to make Kiddush for the wife. The Rabbi Kiva Eger says, why not? A woman is Bechlal Arva, so just I am responsible for her. So that's why I can make Kiddush for her.
So women are Arvas?
Rabbi Kiva Eger thinks they are.
So would Rabbi Kiva say that a woman could also do mezumin for a man?
Mezumin is a different story.
Why?
The Gemara doesn't allow women to make mezumin with men. It's not tanur.
Not because of...
they make it with other women.
Yeah, they actually should, but they don't.
They make it with other women? Yeah, sure.
A woman mezumin, yeah. Women are obligated in Zimun. Women are obligated in Zimun. Women are obligated in Zimun. According to the Gemara Baruch. The Gemara Baruch says women are obligated in Zimun. Whether or not they do it is a different story.
I also heard once that women can actually be more to the husbands and their sons.
That's true, of course. Absolutely. 100%.
Well, women can make Kiddush on the basis of Arvus, on the basis of...
Same reason why you can make it... Yeah, the same reason why you can make a Kiddush for them, they can make Kiddush for you. Absolutely. 100%.
Why is that not done? Because it's not Sanua, the same reason the Muslim...
It's not the same reason. It is done in some places. I've been in houses where it's done. Okay. Women also cut the challah. Whatever, right. That's a sociological thing. Yeah. It's certainly, you know, it's definitely a flashpoint. It's a flashpoint. It's a hashkafic thing.
And the things that I just said about women being
mechuyah,
that's
Rashi
in Tosfos.
Women are
mechuyah.
In Mezumin, the Gemara sees women as being the same as men.
No, I'm talking about mechuyah and brechas amazon.
Not talking about that. I'm talking about Mezumin. But let's take a look. I put over here Chedusha Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Kolevsky. He was one of the former Rosh Yeshivas of Ner Yisrael. So you can tell this over to Rabbi Horowitz. He'll be very excited. Who learned in Ner Yisrael, if you didn't know that, in Baltimore. So he does a nice thing over here in terms of the Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Chazanish and Tosfos. He breaks up the chiluk very nicely. He says, "Hayim akavanu sha'arvos who din." He says, this is what they're arguing about. What are they arguing about in terms of arvos? "Hayim akavanu sha'arvos who din prati b'chiyu shal kol mitzvah u mitzvah." Shechiyuv shakol mitzvah u'mitzvah eino rak sheyaseh at ha-mitzvah ba'atzmo ela sheotah mitzvah kolelet sheishtadel shegam chaveiro yaseh at ha-mitzvah u'mimele kol zman shechaveiro adayin lo aseh at ha-mitzvah nechshav ki iluhu atzmo adayin mechuyev bo ta mitzvah. This is one side of the chiluk. Maybe we'll say that arvus means that there is a din in every single mitzvah, every individual mitzvah has its own din, has its own rule of arvus, which is to say that for every mitzvah that you can choose, right, every one of those mitzvahs, I have an obligation. What? Yeah, every one of those mitzvah, included in that mitzvah is you should get everybody else to do this as well. So pick a mitzvah. Let's say Birkat HaMazon. Included in Birkat HaMazon is you should say Birkat HaMazon when you have a kezayis or when you are you ate kedei sevia. And also included in Birkat HaMazon is you should make sure that other people who ate, they should also say Birkat HaMazon, or you should say it for them.
And if they didn't and you didn't, then you haven't fulfilled your mitzvah.
No. Let's not get into the if you didn't and if they did, whatever. This is saying that the din of arbus is inside each and every mitzvah. You'll see what the difference. You'll see what the other side of the chiluk is, and maybe it'll become clearer. Here's the other side. Oh, din Omar, sha'arbus uchiyuv klali al kol mitzvos haTorah shekevin shekol yisrael arvim zelazem mimele mutal alav chov hatzil et chaviro min haavon liruot sheikayem et hamitzvot amutalot alav. The other side is to say that arbus is a general din. And arbus is a general rule about mitzvahs in general that says that you should try to help and make sure that people do their mitzvahs. It's not in every single one. There's no din in Birkat HaMazon that says make sure that everybody says Birkat HaMazon. That's not a din in Birkat HaMazon. It's a general klali thing that's floating in the air that says you should try to make sure that everybody does mitzvahs. Why does this make a difference? It makes a difference like this. Rabbi Kiva Eger might say, like the first tzad, that the mitzvahs have arvos built in, and therefore when the child is obligated in his mitzvah, then what? Then he's also obligated in the arvos of it. If a child is obligated at all to say Birkat HaMazon, at all, then he's in that mitzvah, right? Which means that he also has arvos for that mitzvah.
Arvos is responsibility others or
for others, yes. And it doesn't matter if he's 2 degrees removed, 1 degree, it doesn't matter. As long as he has an obligation to say Birkat HaMazon, he now has an obligation of Birkat HaMazon. And what does Birkat HaMazon bring along with it? Arvos for Birkat HaMazon. As opposed to the other side. Tosvos and Chazanish think that no, arvos is a general thing. And you're either in it in general, or you're not. And children are not included in that general thing. There's no, it's not part of chinuch. Arvus is not part of the chinuch din that Chazal enacted in order to obligate children in mitzvahs. They're obligated in Birkat HaMazon. They're obligated in other brachos. Whatever you choose, they're obligated in all those things. But they're not obligated in arvus. Chazal never actually obligated them in arvus. In which case, in order to be motzi other people, you have to have something more than arvus. You have to have that they're on the same level as the adult, in which case they have to be only a chad derabanan. That's what he says. That's how he explains the machlokas. The machlokas is not about whether or not ketanim are included in arvus. It's about what arvus is. It's about whether or not arvus is part of the mitzvah itself, in which case who can do arvus? Only those who are obligated in that mitzvah. Or is it a general principle in which case it would only apply to whoever that principle applies to? In this case, it wouldn't apply to ketanim. Maybe it didn't apply to women. But according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, right, the second a woman is obligated in a mitzvah, she's obligated in the arvus of that mitzvah. So let's say, for instance, a good litmus test for this would be if he's right, then and a woman can say kiddush for a man even if she already said kiddush. Okay? But let's say, I would wager that she couldn't, even if let's say she's an Ashkenazi woman and she shakes a luv and she makes a bracha on it, now she can't go ahead and do that again for a man. Whereas the first time around, maybe she could. Maybe. Because she can yotze the mitzvah even if she's not chayiv in it. But once she actually fulfilled the mitzvah, then for sure she's not at all chayiv. She can't be yotze. But because she's not bichlal, hold on 1 second. Oh no! Yeah. Let me take a step back. She would be able to even according to Rabbi Gamer, because even though she's not chayev, she's still in the mitzvah. She can still do the mitzvah. So yeah, the only nafkamina would be for people who don't have who can't do the mitzvah, who don't have any obligation to do the mitzvah.
on the same level as the men. So, okay, you'd have to work to figure that out. That's one thing. You know, we don't have so much time, so I don't want to go too late. Let's see if I can go over this quickly. Yeah.
How many have not done a martyr?
I have not. You did?
No.
Oh, okay. 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 Should we continue? Yeah, okay, fine. There was one other sugya that I actually wanted to just take a look at. Really don't have a lot of time for it. It's a nice sugya. About Hirur Kedibur Dami. About Hirur Kedibur Dami. Whether or not thinking is the same, this gets back to the Chayrish, whether or not thinking is the same as speaking. Like, let's say, for instance, you thought a bracha, right? Is that like you said the bracha? Or you thought a neder. Is that like saying the neder? Saying like that. So that's a machlokas about Hirur is Kedibur Dami. So in the first source, on the second side, from the Turi Evan, I'll kind of try to say it out. I'll say it out loud. What? Well, I'm more talking about the Chayresh over here. How would the Chayresh work?
Unless the designated is mute, they can speak and they do have a measure of speech.
Correct.
The Shaila is, and I don't know for sure, maybe somebody does, can they hear themselves inside their own heads? They can't hear their ears, but people do hear from their skulls and whatever. Mm-hmm.
Very good question. I think that they can't hear you because they can't hear the vibration.
They can't hear the ears. The ears like are gone.
They don't have a vibration. They would need the ear to vibrate to make the noise.
You know what? I forgot. You know, this has actually nothing to do with Chayresh. This has to do with being Yotzei the Megillah, hearing the Megillah from somebody who's not Machuyev Bedavar. Can you be Yotzei the Megillah, hearing from somebody who's not Machuyev Bedavar? The Mishnah seems to say that you can't, right? The Mishnah seems to say that you can't, except that maybe Rabbi Yehuda thinks that you can be the Evid, right? If let's say the Shota is definitely not Machuyev Bedavar, right? So how is any of this going to work? So the Turi Evan, who's the same person as the Shagatayeh, he suggests that, wait a second, why can't we say that you're not going to be Yotzei with his reading? How are you going to be Yotzei? Imagine the Chayresh is standing there reading out loud the Megillah, and his reading reaches your ears, and you're reading along in your own text, right? What do you have in that situation? You have you reading along, you're hearing the words, and you're thinking the words in your head now, and maybe we'll say that Hirur Kedibur Dami, that reading or hearing or thinking words is the same as saying them, in which case he's taking care of it for you. He's doing it for you.
Then why do you need some tool?
Meaning why can't you just read it?
Yeah.
Because it's Kriya Samegillah. Because it's Kriya Samegillah, I believe. Hold on, let me actually just read the question. I'm not going to argue with you. In theory, all it takes is you being able to read it, and then you're Yotzei. Why isn't that good enough? It's as though you said it. So he says, and don't tell me that our Mishnah rejects it by saying that the Chayresh of Tevakatan can't do it, because he says maybe our Mishnah is talking about specifically a case where, what are you reading from?
Not a cloth.
You're reading from a regular. Maybe that's the reason why the Chayresh of Tevakatan can't be motzi you. But what if you were actually reading from a cloth and you heard the Chayresh of Tevakatan and you had Hirur Kedibur Dami? So maybe that would work. Maybe that should work.
But do you have a clear answer whether you have to say it out loud? I mean, the Mishnah that we brought, the Tanya that we brought from Brochus, that said if you said Berachas Amad and quietly to yourself, it's B'di Eved Yotza. right? It doesn't say that you have to read benching. It does say you have to read the Megillah.
Right. Right. So yes. So the Turi Evan suggests that perhaps you cannot apply Hira Kedibra Dami because you need to read.
Right.
Exactly. You need to actually vocalize it. Right. You actually have to vocalize it. So then in that case, how are we ever Yotze? We have some Megillah, unless you're actually the one reading. How are we ever
Yotze?
Quietly
to yourself when
no,
I was reading.
That's not true. You don't even have a klaf in front of you. How are you going to do that?
You should have a klaf.
But what if you don't?
So then you Yotze Bediyeh then.
No, you're not. Yotze Lechatchila. How?
He's your shaliach.
How? What do you call that? What do you call a person being a shaliach when... No, Shomea Ka'ona, exactly. Shomea Ka'ona. The only way it works is Shomea Ka'ona. And that's how he says we can explain the Mishnah. That's why it doesn't work with the Chayr Shot of a Katan. Why? Because what do you need for Shomea Ka'ona? We said this already, by the way. You have to be Mechuyav. We said this already, right? For Shomea Ka'ona to work, you have to be Mechuyav. For Shomea Ka'ona to work, you have to be Mechuyav. The Chayr Shot of a Katan. It's not going to be mechuyev. That's why it's not going to work. Oh yeah, cool. There was another suggestion to explain our Mishnah. Another suggestion was that the make a different ukimta. See, the Turi Evan made an ukimta and said that it's talking about a case where the person listening doesn't have a Megillah in front of him. He only has a Chumash in front of him.
And then.
But the Mariel Diskin suggests a different thing. He suggests maybe the case is that the person does not know Hebrew. He does not understand the language that the Megillah is being read in. Now, normally, you can read the Megillah in Hebrew even if you don't understand it, even if you don't understand Hebrew. But he suggests that maybe you can't hear the Megillah in Hebrew if you don't understand it. Why? Hold on, I'm sorry, the opposite. He says that's the. Hold on, let me just read it. Lefi Majkas of Mariel Diskin, there the Yesh the Ashavet Kushes of Turi Evan Hanal, the Nafka Mina Hechada Katan Kara Beloshana Kodesh, Aval Gadu Enu Mevin Loshana Kodesh. What happens if the Katan? Okay, if the katan, let's say you were hearing from the reader in Hebrew, but you don't speak Hebrew. So can you pull out hear her kedibra dami? Definitely not, because you don't understand what he's saying. So you can't. There's no hear her there. The rule that lashna kodesh works, that Hebrew works even if you don't understand it, that doesn't work through hear her kedibra dami. Because you don't have to understand it. It only works with Shomei Ka'ona. And Shomei Ka'ona only works if the person reading is Mechuyav B'davar. So that's why it works when you hear in another language because of Shomei Ka'ona. But it doesn't work if it would be only hear her Kedibra Dami, which would be the case by the Kata. I know that was a little bit convoluted. We didn't have enough time to actually really get into it. He does a nice job on it. But that'll have to be good enough.
Shkoyach.
Shkoyach. Freilich and Purim, everybody. Shkoyach. Good job.
Tomorrow night we're doing